Welcome to The Audible, presented by Trader Joe's. I'm Stuart Mandel, joined as always by Bruce Feldman for our Wednesday edition. And Bruce, as we're recording this, the news is getting out that the Big Ten, sort of as expected, although I guess we didn't know for sure, they lost Ohio State, Michigan this week. That means Ohio State isn't eligible for the Big Ten title game by not getting to six games, so they are going to change that rule. No six-game minimum. The Buckeyes will be able to play. Controversy everywhere. I don't know. What do you think?
I would ask you this. So this is something I do Big Ten Network on Tuesday nights after the rating show with Dave Revson, and he had asked me, do you think there's actually much difference in the CFP's eyes whether Ohio State were to beat Northwestern on the 19th or whether it would beat Iowa? And I honestly don't think there's really any difference there because, to me, they're going to have the same number of wins at that point in the committee's eyes. I feel like Iowa's pretty much this every bit looked at similarly to Northwestern, which is a good team, but certainly not a great team. And to me, what the one scenario, barring a Buckeye loss, that I think could push them out of the playoff is if Florida beats Alabama. Because I still think Alabama's going regardless because people are going to look at them with the wins they have and the way they've looked in the committee as a clear playoff team. You know, if Notre Dame ends up splitting with Clemson and Notre Dame doesn't get blown out, they still have a win over Clemson and they have a pretty good resume. I don't think Notre Dame would get snubbed for the Buckeyes. Do you disagree?
No, I agree. The more I've thought about this since the rankings Tuesday, I don't think whether Ohio State plays in the Big Ten title game or not has much bearing at all on whether they make the playoff, because that is a tiebreaker that is used if you're comparing two teams and one won the championship and one didn't. And that's not the scenario we're looking at here. The teams that they would be compared to are Texas A&M, who's not going to win the SEC, or Notre Dame if they lose the ACC title game, or Alabama if they lose the SEC title game. So to me, the Big Ten making this decision, I know that we've spent, you know, oodles and oodles of time talking about the CFP implications, but I actually think it just comes down to an acknowledgement that their championship game, which is a big deal for the conference, for TV, for the teams involved, just wouldn't be seen as legitimate if the team that everybody realizes or everybody acknowledges is the best team, a team that already beat Indiana, is not in the game. So I think correcting that and making sure that your championship game is not viewed as illegitimate is really more of a, to me at least, more of a driving factor than the CFP implications.
Yeah, and I think you laid it out well. Because they do have a win over Indiana, if that game didn't happen, I think it might be a little feel a little different, but as you said, in that regard, and they are going to get relatively close to that threshold that they had created anyway, because it looks like there's going to be more cancellations this week. Obviously, Michigan and Ohio State's already been off. So going forward on this, and I do think a lot of this Tuesday night show feels like it's manufactured drama. We did talk a little bit about this on Sunday. I was not shocked, but a little bit, I guess, disappointed to see Coastal Carolina sitting only at 13. They beat a good BYU team, and they beat a Louisiana team that has a 17-point win over the top-ranked team in the Big 12, Iowa State, who, by the way, is number 7 in the poll. I don't understand that dynamic. On top of it, Georgia's still there. Georgia's still in the top 10, and their best win is now over a 4-loss Auburn team. And everybody else Georgia has beaten has losing records. I mean, I feel like Georgia's the dead horse I've been beating here. But again, I think this is kind of into the ether of what's of how the CFP is kind of evaluating teams, right? So I think, I don't know, like I said, it's not shocking, but again, the fact that Iowa State is so high, given even with Louisiana beating them head-to-head by 17 in Ames, Iowa, I mean, it happened this year. It wasn't like it happened 2 years ago or anything. That was a puzzling thing. The other thing I wanted to ask you is there any possibility you could see that could get Texas A&M into the playoff?
Yeah, I mean, the path is pretty clear for A&M, isn't it? I mean, if Notre Dame beats Clemson, and you know, if Notre Dame beats Clemson, Alabama beats Florida, then you've got Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Texas A&M. Or if Notre Dame loses to Clemson, even if those teams both go in, you know, then you need Ohio State to lose to Northwestern. But they're right there on the brink.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Two questions for you on this.
Yeah.
One, if Notre Dame beats Clemson like in an overtime game, no, Clemson's out. Two losses, you think they're out?
Yes.
Okay.
You had two chances to get your signature win and you didn't win either one.
The second part of this is Florida beats Alabama. Florida beats Alabama and Notre Dame beats Clemson. Florida would be obviously SEC champ. Texas A&M would have beaten the SEC champ, would have had one loss. Any chance that there's three SEC teams in and Notre Dame and that the committee snubs Ohio State?
No, I don't think so. Not if Ohio State's undefeated, because if Florida beats Alabama, Alabama's not falling out.
I know, but I'm just saying
if you're a lock, A&M's not going to push ahead of Alabama because of the blowout loss.
No, but they would have beaten the SEC champs and they would only have one loss. I could see A&M folks feeling like they're more deserving than an Ohio State team that would have had, I guess it would be, what, 6-0 with only two wins over winning, you know, teams. And look, I think it helped them that Indiana did beat, even without Michael Penix Jr., did beat Wisconsin last week. But again, I think that I could see there being some push there from them. But
yeah,
I
you could. Yeah, I no, you would absolutely see it. I mean, our friend Billy Lucci at Texags would like storm the meetings in Dallas to protest. But if the committee has Ohio State, as of this moment, the committee believes Ohio State's a better team than Texas A&M. All that can happen between now and the end of the season is Ohio State is going to get a chance to beat a top 15 Northwestern team. Texas A&M is going to play Tennessee. So what would cause the committee to change their mind and say A&M is better than Ohio State?
Just the fact that the team they beat would be the SEC champ.
Yeah, so you're basically saying like, oh, and let's go back and reward them more retroactively for that. I just don't see that happening, because Florida would be the SEC champ. They would have beaten both Alabama and Georgia, so two top 10 wins for them, whereas A&M's win over Florida would be their only top 10 win. And then I just think that it's hard to get over the 52-24. We've seen the committee hold that against teams before when they've had, like, Ohio State's missed out because they had lopsided losses. I do know one team that whose hopes died on Tuesday night, the Cincinnati Bearcats. Look, I like Iowa State. I like Matt Campbell. I like Brock Purdy. I like Breece Hall. They are not the seventh best team in the country. And to your point earlier about Coastal, I said before the season or at some point early on that with the lack of non-conference games this year, even more than usual, conference affiliation, you know, the general perception, respect level for the conference was going to play a big part. The part that puzzles me is that the Big 12 was the conference that actually did play some teams with a pulse out of conference and lost those games. Louisiana beat Iowa State. Arkansas State beat Kansas State. Coastal beat Kansas. And it's like it never happened. Now, I know it was the first game of the season. Teams get better. Teams get worse. But if you listen to Gary Barta, who, funny enough, is the AD of their rival school, I mean, he gushes about Iowa State in the way that, like, we might gush about Alabama. And if you look at Iowa State's season, they beat Oklahoma. All credit in the world, they beat Oklahoma. That's their signature win. But in the last 2 weeks, they won on the road against a Texas team that we think is okay, not great, by a field goal. And then they beat a 500 West Virginia team at home soundly. And in doing so, they've moved up six spots. And Cincinnati's moved down.
Is there any real scenario short of Tennessee knocking off Texas A&M, assuming that game happens, for Cincinnati to get in? Because here's the only scenario I could see. This is drawn out as could be, but Alabama wins handily in the SEC title game. Notre Dame beats Clemson, so Clemson's out. I guess Ohio State would have to lose the Big Ten title, so now you're down to basically Notre Dame and Alabama in. Mm-hmm. I assume the winner of the Big 12, because of the way the committee had played it, if it's Oklahoma with two losses or Iowa State with two losses, would then get in. And then is Cincinnati, if they beat Tulsa, your fourth team?
Boy, I've lost track of this. I guess I would say if they're going to put a two-loss Big 12 champion, yeah, over an undefeated AAC team, then why wouldn't they put in two-loss Clemson?
Oh, man, if that's the case, if I'm Cincinnati after they would have lost to the same team twice, this is remote, first of all, to think that, you know, could Notre Dame beat Clemson again? Sure. Could Ohio State get knocked off by Northwestern in the Big Ten title game? Maybe. Could Texas A&M lose to Tennessee?
That seems the least likely.
That does seem like the least likely scenario. But all those things would have to happen. And even then, I think you're looking at a Big 12 champ getting in with two losses. I mean, if I'm Cincinnati, it's like they have, almost 0% chance of getting in.
Tuesday night was the just like they did with UCF. Tuesday night was the night that they said, you know, thanks for your. Now Cincinnati lost a chance for a top 25 win this week, having to cancel the Tulsa game. They're going to play Tulsa next week. They are, but it's the difference between saying you had two more than one more. But either way, yeah, this was the committee's way of saying congratulations on your great season. You will not go higher than this. You have reached your ceiling. You are a group of five team who has not beaten any teams we have in the top 25. So you're done here. And we're even going to move a two-loss Big 12 team that lost by 17 to a Sun Belt team ahead of you.
I mean, it's interesting. Do you think it is that, what's the right word, that direct, meaning like, purposefully slotted that to basically make that point, saying, all right, because they're in that room for a long time to think, okay, you're Cincinnati, here's the message we're sending to you. No matter what, there is going to be a two-loss Big 12 title team that will be put in position above you, no matter what. Because, again, all those things happen. Like, let's say that Iowa State was ranked below Cincinnati. Iowa State was 8, Cincinnati was 7. Then the scenario to me isn't quite as far-fetched where, okay, I mean, I definitely expect Alabama to win. I'm not sure I would pick Notre Dame to win, but it wouldn't shock me, right? So there's two. Then you, let's say Ohio State wins, there's three. And then it's the Texas A&M thing. That's still, like you said, both of us don't think that's going to happen, that they're going to lose. But at least at that point, It's not, you need Ohio State, A&M, and then you still have no chance. Again, I mean, I think we're going down this rabbit hole, but it's just, to me, I'm curious of their process of sticking, as you said, Iowa State above Cincinnati at this point. Because, look, they could make that case that if Iowa State were to beat Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game, the way Oklahoma's played in the last month or so, then, yeah, maybe then they would leapfrog Cincinnati. But to stick them there now, I thought was an interesting, if not... not so subtle maneuver.
I guess it just depends on if you know what, how much of a conspiracy theorist you are. I don't think they sat. To be clear, I don't actually think that Gary Barta and who else is on there these days, R.C. Slocum, I sat in a room and said, "Oh, we can't have a AAC team. Let's just go ahead and shoot that down now." I think it's more that, first of all, Cincinnati hasn't played since November 21st. They lost their Temple game, then they were off, and now they've lost the Tulsa game. And during that time, Iowa State has played and beaten, you know, has two impressive wins. And so I just think at this point in the season, they're stacking the schedules next to each other. They clearly have more respect for kind of average Big 12 teams versus average AAC teams. And they're just like, yeah, we think Iowa State's better because they've beaten teams like Texas and Oklahoma. Whereas Cincinnati's wins are against teams like SMU and Memphis and Houston, and just don't believe deep down that a group of five team is playing a better playing comparable schedule to a power five team. You know, we've spent all this time dissecting it. At the end of the day, I think there's really almost no suspense to this CFP race. I think the only thing that would throw a curveball is if Florida beat Alabama. I don't think Florida's going to beat Alabama. I think Florida's really good. Their defense is not good, and they're playing the scariest offense in college football. So short of that, I think, you know, we could sit here and say right now that, and I don't think Northwestern's going to beat Ohio State. God bless my alma mater, but that could be like 42-7. So, I mean, I think three of the teams are decided. It's going to be Alabama, Notre Dame.
Even if Ohio State is down four offensive linemen?
Yeah, it didn't seem to make a difference against Michigan State.
No, it didn't.
Their defense is really good. Maybe they'll slow down Justin Fields and those guys a little bit, but Northwestern can't score. I mean, they have Peyton Ramsey is an upgrade over who they had, but he's still got a ceiling. They have one receiver of any note and not much to speak for in the backfield. So they basically have to hold everybody to 17 points to win.
By the way, your alma mater did give up 29 points to Rocky Lombardi in Michigan State, that defense you were talking about.
Yeah, they gave up like a 75-yard run, I think, on the first play or the first drive. They actually got the lead back in that game and then gave up a couple field goals. So,
but they couldn't get off the field on third down either. So
they didn't have a great game, which is why I just said they're probably going to lose by a very lopsided margin to Ohio State. And so because of that, I'm sitting here saying Alabama, Sharpie, as Seth Davis would say. Notre Dame, pretty close to Sharpie. Ohio State, based on what they've said to this point, Sharpie. And then it's just like, the Notre Dame-Clemson result. If Notre Dame wins, then no Clemson. If Clemson wins, then both of them. The only real suspense is basically, will Notre Dame win and let A&M move up?
Okay. Anything else?
Just how do you, I mean, I just we alluded to it at the beginning, but is this really all that controversial what the Big Ten is doing? I mean, in a normal year, if they change the rules at the 11th hour and seem to be playing clear favorites to, you know, the big brand name team, everybody would go crazy. I'm having a hard time getting worked up about it. Especially after the ACC bent their own rules on behalf of Clemson and Notre Dame, in a year where matchups are being created on the fly and we're just kind of all making this up as it goes along. I mean, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. You don't want to have a championship game without your best team.
Can I ask you a spin it forward thing? Because I agree with what you said, but do you think now there will be more momentum for the Big Ten, which clearly positioned this move in hopes of helping their cause in the playoff, would say, okay, we have a different criteria for players who test positive. They're out a minimum of 21 days. That could be a real factor with the playoff. They're, you know, assuming that Ohio State would be one of four teams, they would be operating by a different set of standards and rules than the other three teams. Would you be at all surprised if the Big Ten switched that rule too?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if they switched that rule. But part of that is the CDC just changed their guidelines on how long people should quarantine. And some of those schools are starting to, some schools, basically you have to, now your own municipality has to adapt that. But that gives you a, if you're saying you think they would change it just to not be at a disadvantage in the playoff, but there is a health recommendation they can fall back on to justify it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's something probably to keep an eye on. I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen. I'm not saying I'm hearing there's a lot of traction for it. But at this point, I think that's something, you know, we'll see if it goes in that direction.
I would just say in general, I've gotten a lot of flack in the last 24 hours from Nebraska fans. Nebraska fans are just so...
What have you done now?
All I did was say, you guys were right. You know, you should have, when they tried to play the non-conference game and got shot down, the statement they put out at the time said that they were doing this in part because they thought it would benefit the rest of the Big Ten, who might need it at some point for a playoff or bowl data point. So they were 100% right. You guys were right. You shouldn't have gotten the flack that you did. But for some reason, that's not enough. I need to atone for all of the negative comments that anybody in the media ever made about Nebraska in the last 3 months. And I would just say, we know more now than we did then. No, everybody's just been trying to figure out how to manage this. And in September, I'm sure in September when the Big Ten put that minimum rule in, they never thought they would have to actually invoke it, right? We're not going to have 8 gazillion games canceled. We have daily antigen tests. That's the answer. Nobody knew how this was going to play out. And so as more information comes in, as you have more experience with this, you have to adapt. It's just that adapt, flexible, you know, words like that are what 2020 is all about. And as we wrap up here, Bruce, it just literally came into my inbox that Indiana and Purdue have mutually agreed to cancel the old Oaken Bucket game this week due to rising COVID numbers at both schools, which means that for all the everything we just talked about Ohio State and whether that was right to do it or not, I don't know if Indiana's would even be able to play in the Big Ten title game next week, depending on how their situation arises goes forward. Hopefully, because the Big Ten hasn't even announced who's playing whom next week. Hopefully that's one of those games they can reschedule for next week.
Right, and so you have two of the greatest rivalries in the Midwest. Obviously, ones that go back 100 plus years, certainly the old Oaken Bucket game as well as the Michigan-Ohio State game, not happening this weekend. And that's just a reality of 2020.
It's rough, but you just have to, Ohio State-Michigan not happening is just one of those things that you would never in a million years would think we could play a college football season and not have that game. But that's where we are, and we just have to, as I wrote about at the end of the mailbag, we just have to feel fortunate that we're getting as much college football as we are, given where the virus is in this country right now.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's almost mid-December. We're talking about a playoff happening, and obviously it's going to be a little, different with either no fans at the Rose Bowl or almost no fans at a lot of other venues. But we're close to the finish line. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think we're in, one of the things that I kind of scratched my head about is oh man, it's mid-December. Part of me feels like, and this is also a function of living in a place much different than where I grew up, where it's it's not cold in December and you don't get much seasons, but it's still a little bit it still feels it's September, October, in this. And it's just been, as I think about it, I'm like, we basically have two more shows of our Big Noon Kickoff show, and then that's it that's probably a wrap for the year. And it's just kind of a little bit crazy to me that we're even at that point, that it's gone, that we're at this time of the year already.
I can't believe that we're going to get through Selection Sunday on the 20th. And then, first of all, there's a bowl game on the 19th. But then the rest of them start like 2 days later. That for me, part of the calendar, part of the internal calendar is that, you know, you and me and everybody in this profession, we all, I mean, the last week to 10 days is just such a grind. And then you get to come up for air and have a little downtime before the bowls. Not this year. We'll go straight from one to the other. But again, I keep trying to, you know, people this week, there's been a lot of talk how boring this season is, how boring the playoff race is. And we just have to remind ourselves, I'll take boring over on August 11th. We thought there were, like, losing the Ohio State-Michigan game sucks. But on August 11th, we were under the impression there would be no Big Ten football at all this fall. So we just kind of have to count our blessings.
I'm with you.
All right, we will come back at you on Sunday. We always answer emails on that one, and we had some great ones this past week. Send your emails to theaudiblepod@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.